tips for Borderlands 3, and more coming up on today's episode of The Latest in Tech News. Hey, Gadget here. You're just in time for the latest episode of the world's only 3-in-1 show on tech, gadgets, and gaming news. That's right, this is The Latest in Tech News. My name is Taylor Merrick, and if you're new here, hit that subscribe button right now so that you don't miss out on the daily news that we do around these parts. And by daily, I mean Monday to Friday, because Saturday and Sunday are off days, except for maybe this Saturday. I'll be speaking about that in just a little bit. Today's feature story that we'll be looking at is, 11 tips I wish I knew before I played Borderlands 3, and it's kind of in preparation for the game officially releasing tomorrow on Friday. Oh no, Friday the 13th. I jinxed it. Oh, great. Well. Nothing we can really do there. We'll also be taking a look at Apple Arcade, all 51 games announced so far. The HTC Vive Cosmos VR pricing, release date, and first hands-on. We'll also be taking a look at, Death Stranding. There's a new video gameplay video thing that came out, so we'll be taking a look at that, because there's still trying to figure out what in the world is going on, why babies aren't bubbles. Who knows? Beats me. We'll also be taking a look at Call of Duty Modern Warfare beta release time and date. And finally, we'll be taking a look at Nintendo showing off an exercise-powered RPG for Switch. It's a Ring Fit for adventure. But before we do, let's take a look back on today in tech history. All right, today is September 12th, 2019. On this day in history, in 1958, researcher Jack Kilby demonstrates the first integrated circuit to other researchers and executives at Texas Instruments. Keep in mind that they're still trying to figure out a resistor and capacitors and semiconductors. His circuit consisted of a sliver of germanium with, did I say that right? Yeah, it is. With five components linked by wires, along with Bob Noyce. Noyce! Dang it, I'm never going to be able to say that name again the right way. He is considered the inventor of the integrated circuit. Great, now I just had to ruin it, because now every time you're going to hear that name, you're going to be like, hey, that guy's Noyce! Without the contributions that they made to the integrated circuit, there'd really be no point in wanting to build a computer and do everything off of it that you can currently. So, whatever, I've ruined worse things that much. I will tell you, with that out of the way, let's head on over to today's feature story. All right, Friday the 13th is coming up. It's tomorrow, you guys, and that's when Borderlands 3 is dropping. By the way, if you're interested in today's articles, or any articles of past shows, head on over to technewsgadget.net. We got the full show lineup, link up, article dump for you, whatever you want to call it. This one, 11 things I wish I knew before playing Borderlands 3. Now, the article begins, Borderlands 3 fits like an old stinky glove. Most of the same tips and tricks from this past games apply here, but some iterative changes and new features mean the game has changed just enough that there is some fresh advice for anyone diving in at launch. Here's how to save time, be a better teammate, and prioritize your workload. Tip number one, you can fast travel to your vehicle. Borderlands 3 is fairly general with fast travel, allowing players to teleport to designated nodes in each area from anywhere at any time, but you can also fast travel to your vehicle from anywhere, something that's easy to miss in the tutorials, because I don't believe they cover it. With this in mind, once you reach the end of a shooting corridor as part of a side mission and don't want to keep exploring the zone, don't trudge all the way back to your vehicle, fast travel to it. Just click and hold on your vehicle's location on a map, and you'll pop over instantly. Second up, you've got mail. Sometimes after completing quests or just out of nowhere, you'll get a notification that you've received mail. Thing is, your inbox isn't located in a sensible place. You'll need to press escape and head to the social menu to read mail. And you should, because you'll get tons of guns and cosmetics that way. Third up, prioritize backpack SDU purchases. Now, the best feature of Borderlands the loot can also be its most frustrating. There's an abundance of cool guns and gear, and that's easy for the backpack to fill up really quick. Cut down on trips to vendors to sell off by those extra items by prioritizing backpack SDU purchases on your sanctuary ship. Bank space and lost loot space are good secondary options if you're having a hard time really letting go. Next tip, purchase the first tier ammo space SDUs too. That way you don't run out of ammo every few minutes in the first hours playing Borderlands 3. And, well, otherwise, you're just going to have a really sucky time doing it. Luckily, it's not a huge problem once you skill up and upgrade the first tier or two of ammo reserves at Marcus's shop on Sanctuary. Next up, side quests will match your level when you finish the campaign. So in case you're wondering, don't feel the need to clean up with every side quest before you leave a zone. Save them for long enough and they'll match your skill level once you finish the campaign and will continue to level up with you. Next tip is use the ping system, and it's context sensitive. It seems like they're almost taking hints from Apex Legends. Press X while looking at an enemy and it'll outline them in red for the whole team. Point it at a gun and it'll highlight the sucker in blue. Point it at a friendly and it'll highlight them in green. And it's especially helpful when things get hectic and your team's trying to figure out how to get rid of a particularly tough enemy. Ping them, and they'll obviously be able to prioritize on that because they'll be able to see them via the indicator. Next up, dueling is back. Press the emote button, which is Z by default, to propose a duel. It's a cute feature for settling bets or for just screwing around, kind of like what you would do in World of Warcraft is you'd go outside a city and you duel. But if you just want to shame your friends until they catch up to your level, you could do that as well. Next up, equipping gun ornaments and skins is more difficult than it really should be. It's kind of frustrating. Don't recall seeing a tutorial when you received your first gun skin. Same goes for your first ornament. Turns out, here's how you do it. You equip each cosmetic in a completely different place. For ornaments, just look at the empty nodule to the left of your equipped weapons in the inventory screen. Click it and equip some little doodads. For weapon skins, highlight a skin and press E to inspect it. From there, you can press X to equip a weapon skin. I don't know why it's so convoluted, but there it is. Also, don't get too attached to specific guns or gear. You know how it goes. You kind of have the same problem in Destiny as well. A few hours will pass, no new guns, shields, grenades, you find really click. They do the job, but not really with the, you know, oomph that you want. These big droughts are a little bit too common during the bulk of the first playthrough, but eventually a gun drops that you'll feel like you'll never be able to let go. For the author here, it happened with a legendary pistol that worked like a rapid-fire shotgun. But when you level up, it won't, and you'll have to let go of the good stuff eventually because it won't suffice against higher level enemies. Don't sweat it. Something good will be coming up. You can do this. You'll just have to survive a little bit without it. Also, the Iridium will flow and be patient. Earl sells cool cosmetics on Sanctuary's bottom deck, but only takes Iridium, which is tough to come by in the early hours of playing. But don't sweat it, you'll be swimming in the stuff after a specific juncture in the story that opens up a few avenues for collecting that ever so precious Iridium. Also, next up, once you're in the end game, don't start True Vault Hunter mode immediately. You're better off working through the three levels of Mayhem mode. Each consecutive level beefs up enemy difficulty and rare loot drop rates. With a couple of difficult, repeatable missions to play over and over, it's the best way to hit that level cap that you're looking for if you haven't hit it. Farm Guardian rank points and find cool legendary guns and gear. So thanks to James from PC Gamer for those tips. Those are 11 tips, so now with that, you should be prepared for Borderlands 3. And if you have any further questions or you're wondering or you're just too darn excited about the game to, you know, keep it all to yourself, let us know down in the comment section if you're watching today's episode via YouTube. My thoughts, let's see if they actually improve. I don't know why they have to make certain things and features so frustrating. I'm thinking without actually even playing the game, probably going to be another close to like 8 or 9 out of 10 rating of a game. I guarantee they probably improved on a lot of things, and then they went and retracted on a couple of things, and then they added something in that's confusing everybody just for fun and giggles. Hopefully the initial launch goes well. It is launching officially tomorrow, but don't jinx it. If you do already have it, enjoy, and good luck. All right, moving on to some Apple Arcade news. I remember earlier in the week, we had covered Apple Arcade, the pricing and everything surrounding it. Well, finally, we have 51 games that are announced so far. Prior to that, we just had a couple. So this is news. New news. No news is good news, and whatever. I'm trying to make a joke. It's not working out. But yeah, Apple firmly staked its claim in the gaming world on Tuesday with more details on its new game subscription service, Apple Arcade. The service, first announced in March, will cost $4.99 a month and will let Apple users play over 100 new and exclusive games across iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch, Mac, and Apple TV. And let's see, they got photos that go along with these too. So in case you're wondering, podcast listener, if there is video that goes along with the show, there is indeed. Head on over to youtube.com/tech news gadget. Now, one game we'll be looking at just briefly. First up is The Artful Escape. Kind of looks interesting. It was announced at E3 2017. It's about a musician who is on a quest for self-discovery. Another game is Atone, Heart of the Elder Tree. This looks like an interesting game. If you're a fan of Norse mythology, check out this hand-drawn game. Explore beautifully rendered worlds, battle enemies, discover secrets, and make choices to reach one of the game's multiple endings. Then there's Ballistic Baseball. It's a new take on America's pastime that highlights the intense battle between the pitcher and the batter. Another game is Beyond a Steel Sky. Looks really nice. It's a cyberpunk thriller game set 10 years after the events of Beneath a Steel Sky, a 1994 sci-fi point-and-click game. You'll play as the returning protagonist, Robert Foster. So, more details on that are obviously on this page. Then there's Box Project. Not any information full yet. It's just a picture of a cardboard box. That's it. No idea what else is Jack in the Box. Who knows? Also, we'll be looking at the Bradwell Conspiracy. It looks like a similar vibe to the first Bioshock and We Happy Few. Man, I gotta change the setting here really quick. Alright, so it's kind of interesting. It's a narrative-driven first-person experience. Next up is Cardpocalypse. I think Yu-Gi-Oh! From back in the day. There's also Choo Choo Rocket. A classic Sega game is back 2 decades later. There's also Doomsday Vault. It kind of looks like Wally. Down in Bermuda. Looks interesting. It looks like you'll play as an explorer with a large island to traverse. And you also have an adorable duck companion. There's also Earth Knight. It's a hand-painted 2D action game with dragons. And you're a 14-year-old photographer who has to save the world and navigate the dragon-infested skies. There's also Enchanted World, Enter the Construct, Exit the Gungeon, Fantasian, Frogger in Toy Town, which you probably saw if you watched the show. Super Frogger. Oh boy. Anyways, Hitchhiker. Looked kind of interesting. Then there's Hot Lava. Remember Flora's Lava? Well, this game supports up to 8 players, so your whole family can run, jump, climb, surf, and ultimately try to stay off the lava ground. There's also Jenny Clue Detective, Kings of the Castle, Lego Art House, Lego Brawls, a 4v4 multiplayer, Lifelike, which is interesting. Little Orpheus, Monomals, Mr. Turtle, No Way Home, Oceanhorn 2, Knights of the Lost Realm. So in case you have been playing Monster of the Uncharted Sea, Oceanhorn 2 is the prequel to that game. So if you've already played that one already, you might see some places you're familiar with, but revamped. Obviously, this game has very much a Zelda-esque series feel with a hint of Kingdom Hearts. Then there's Overload, Pac-Man Party Royale, The Pathless, Possessions, Projection First Light, Rayman Mini, Repair, Sayonara Wild Hearts, Shantae 5, Shantae and the Seven Sirens, Shinsekai Steep Sea, Skate City, Sneaky Sasquatch, Sonic Racing, of course, why not, Spider Sores. And picture-wise, all we have is 2 people shooting with a T-Rex behind them. That's all that they have information on. Steven Universe Unleashed a Light, Super Impossible Road, Tawaga, Among Shadows, UFO on Tape, First Contact, Various Daylife, Where Cards Fall, Winding Worlds, Yaga, and that's it. So yeah, it's kind of interesting. Oh gosh, Yaga is an RPG that adapts to your choices as you play. You play as Ivan, a one-handed blacksmith who is cursed with bad luck. Along the way, Ivan encounters bears and giant chickens in some battles based on, well, all we can tell from the images that we have right here and we're looking at on the screen. So yeah, that's all that's coming to Apple Arcade. Looks like some fun is to be had. Alright, we got some gadget news. Finally, the HTC Vive Cosmos VR. For those of you who are interested in the latest VR news, there is pricing, release date, and the first hands-on. So, after nearly a year of teases, HTC has taken the full wraps off its next PC VR headset, the Vive Cosmos. The company actually invited the author here for Ars Technica to confirm a release plan. Starting October 3rd, HTC will begin selling the full system for $699, and the system finally dumps the old HTC Vive Lighthouse tracking boxes in favor of built-in, inside-out tracking cameras. However, HTC also invited the author to test the Cosmos in a few VR games, and while they didn't test for long enough to put together a definitive review, they're currently left wondering whether HTC's latest VR system has what it takes to compete with either the pricier Valve Index or the best of the industry's cheaper inside-out tracking headsets. On a technical level, Vive Cosmos introduced a new pair of VR lenses that take a one-step-forward, one-step-back move compared to similar lenses in the HTC Vive Pro. They increased combined resolution for both eyes, and they dumped the OLED panels in favor of fast switching LCDs. And in terms of the Cosmos, it has a 110 degree FOV rating. And here's the reporter here testing it out. Controllers and all, headsets on, a better look at how it looks like. And either they can't quite exactly determine what was going on with this shot, if it was a sheer VR terror or maybe a sneeze was brewing. They couldn't exactly tell with this one, but it's quite funny on regardless, and how it looks like on the back of the head. But yeah, it's a little bit hefty in the hands, not necessarily good news, but it does look promising. Kind of interesting. I guess you can take stuff off of it as well. So, that's all that they have information on so far. They do plan on returning to Cosmos next month with a review. Until then, they're keeping their VR fingers crossed that robust tests and last-minute tweaks will reveal that HTC has some secret sauce packed into the depths of its Cosmos. But as far as we know, the pricing for that is $700 US and starting October 3rd. All right, on to some gaming news. Death Stranding. There is a massive new TGS gameplay video that was dropped. In case you're on the go and you can't get access to the show to watch the video, do know that most of everybody who tunes into the show tunes in via podcast, and you can get more information on that by going to latestintechnews.com or search for Latest in Tech News in the podcast app that you want to listen in. Now, the mysteries of Death Stranding continued to unfold this week at the Tokyo Game Show, where celebrated game director Hideo Kojima debuted a whopping 48 minutes of new gameplay, giving the most in-depth peek at the fractured world Sam Bridges hopes to save. And here's some details that they noticed. This comes to us direct from PlayStation. First off, preparation is key. Kind of starts off with Sam likely preparing for a mission by picking up his equipment and balancing his cargo. His loadout isn't just attached to his back. He seems to meticulously equip his suit and a carefully select attachment for his arms as well. How these different attachments and options affect his capabilities in the field remain to be seen. It seems like it'll be worth it to get things right before setting out, however. You can also plot your own course. Before leaving the facility, Sam also takes a moment to examine the map, which can be shifted into a topographical view that takes all the hills, valleys, bodies of water to account. Players can place markers to plot a specific course, as well as prepare necessary equipment like ladders, anchors, and boots for the journey ahead. But keep in mind, you're not the only one exploring this world. Pretty sure you won't be bumping into direct contact with other players in the world, but you may come across things that they've built or left behind. There are clear signs of other travelers like yourself using equipment to cross gaps and scale mountains, making you the benefactor of their generous intrepidness. Be sure to leave them alike for their troubles. It's not yet known what this purpose serves, but at least they'll feel appreciated. Sorry about that. It's really choking me up there. I don't know why. Also, treat yourself. Given the responsibility placed on Sam's shoulders, both literally and figuratively. I mean, are you looking at the video right now? Look at how much this guy has on his back. Holy cow. Death Stranding encourages moments of tranquility and recuperation. We see Sam here taking some time to rest in the grass, with prompts for him to massage his shoulders, stretch his legs, or sneak in a quick nap. He'll stop to play a tune from a quest-driven harmonica or bathe in a recharging spring, prompting the BB to respond with appreciative coos and likes. Also, when you're on the move, you can move at different paces despite being loaded to the brim with cargo and equipment. Here, Sam has equipped an active skeleton that lets him run faster and farther. He also pulls off some rather epic jumps despite his massive pack of cargo. Getting around should be a lot more interesting once you acquire one of these things. They're also using a mule truck here for a quick escape, and later on you can ride a motorcycle, illustrating that traversal in Death Stranding can take a variety of forms. In terms of lightening the load, you can also equip a floating carrier. It's a hovering pallet of sorts that Sam can pack cargo onto and be pulled alongside him as he walks. Should make a big difference in terms of capacity to transport goods, speed up deliveries, and more flexibility should he come across lost cargo that he doesn't want to leave behind. And in case you're wondering, yes, that floating carrier can carry you as well. You can hop on to zoom down from a high vantage point and stealthily approach a mule camp. Sort of speedy, convenient travel hints at multiple ways to approach a challenge, giving Sam a more efficient way of getting down beyond the rope and ladder that we've seen so far. But make some meaningful connections as well. Keep in mind, you're not alone in Death Stranding. You'll meet a couple deliveries, points and individuals, either to return lost cargo or approaching a larger facility where you're met with a hologram version of one of its residents. Upon delivery completion, each facility represented will greet Sam to thank him for his trouble and allowed him to add their base to a larger sprawling chiral network. It kind of seems like these forged connections are at the heart of his journey. But yeah, that's all we have. Anything stand out to you? Let us know in the comments or tweet us on Twitter. We are at Tech News Gadget. It's going to be an interesting game for sure. Death Stranding launches on November 8th for the PS4. All right, Call of Duty players, we got some news for you, but you probably already know it, so it's probably irrelevant. But this is for those of you who aren't current or exactly paying attention because you're busy with other stuff. So Call of Duty Modern Warfare's beta starts today, and here's when you'll be able to start playing. It will be on every platform eventually. I'm just kidding. Modern Warfare, the latest new Call of Duty game, isn't set to arrive until later this year, but fans will have the chance to check out the game during its beta this month. The beta will eventually be available on all three platforms that the game will come out on, but the timing is kind of confusing. See what I mean? The Modern Warfare beta will first come to the PlayStation 4, where fans who have pre-ordered the game will have a chance to play it starting on September 12th at 1 p.m. Eastern. Then the beta will go into its open access period on PS4 starting on September 14th, where anyone on the console can download and play the beta. This period will end on September 16th, when the beta will go down for a few days. Starting on September 19th to the 20th, the Modern Warfare beta will move to PC and Xbox One, where players on those platforms who pre-ordered the game will be able to play the beta. Meanwhile, all PS4 players will continue to be able to play the game for free. Finally, from September 21st to 23rd, players on all platforms will be able to access the beta, whether they have pre-ordered the game or not. But obviously, if you pre-ordered it, you probably have access to a little bit more as opposed to like the free downloaded beta. So here is their schedule. Quick lineup, just in case your guys are like, well, what does it say again? So, There you go. It's right there. I'm pointing at it right there. And finally, Nintendo shows off an exercise-powered RPG for the Switch. And we got an image of it up on the screen here. You see, Nintendo has been at the crossroads of video games and fitness since that famous power pad for the NES, and the Switch is the latest to receive a game powered by physical activity. That game's called Ring Fit Adventure, and this one actually looks like fun. In the game, you'll jog in place to advance your character and perform various movements and exercises to avoid obstacles and defeat enemies. Your quest is to defeat an evil bodybuilding dragon who has disrupted the peaceful, apparently very fit world of the protagonist. Sure. The game comes with a pair of accessories, a ring, leg strap, and each of which you slot a Joy-Con into. The two controllers work together to get a picture of your whole body movement, meaning it can be sure you're keeping your arms out in front of you when you do a squat and not phoning it during leg raises. Because, you know, people have been caught doing that before, saying, I don't actually want to exercise. So yeah, they've been watching you guys and seeing how you're playing this game. You won't be able to get your way out of this one. The ring itself is flexible and can tell how hard you're squeezing or pulling it, but don't worry, that can be calibrated for your strength level. Interestingly, the top button of the controller appears to be able to be used as a heart rate monitor. That kind of came out of left field, but it's kind of interesting. Just one more way Nintendo is making its hardware do some interesting new things, and here's a close-up look at it. There will be a ton of different movements you'll be required to do, focusing on different areas of the body. Upper, lower, core, and some sort of whole body ones inspired by some yoga positions. Ingeniously, some enemies are weak to one or another, and you'll need to use different ones for other scenarios, so you're getting a varied workout whether you like it or not. Meanwhile, your character levels up and unlocks new, more advanced moves as you go along. Think of a lunge instead of a squat, or adding an arm movement to a leg one. That can get you closer to the goal. There are also mini games and straight up workouts that you can select, which you can do at any time if you don't feel like playing the actual game and contribute to your character's level anyways. Now, the idea of gamifying fitness has been around for quite a while, and some titles like Wii Fit got pretty popular off of that notion. This one seems like the most in-depth actual game to use fitness as its main mechanic, and critically, it is simple and easy enough that even the most lazy among us can get in a session now and then at their own pace. If you're interested, Ring Fit Adventure will be available on October 18th. There is no pricing just yet, but you can probably expect it to be a little above a regular Switch game. And they do have a full-length video walkthrough of the game, but beware, the acting is a little bit off-putting. So if you don't want to be cringing about it, just wait another month, and then the game will come out, and you'll probably get a proper title release for it. But the video is listed here for you to view at your viewing pleasure, if you so desire. And with that, that wraps up this episode of the Lace and Tech News. Thanks for tuning in. New episodes every weekday, typically, except for tomorrow. I will not be doing a show on Friday, but this is what I will say. If you are interested, I will do a Saturday special. I will release an episode, yes, on Saturday, a Saturday special. So if you are interested in that, let me know in the comments or on Twitter at TechNewsGadget, and I'll be sure to keep that in consideration, because if I don't hear a lot of people telling me they want a Saturday special show, I won't do it. But if I do, I will. See how it works? Or I might just regardless, I don't know, but I'd rather prefer to hear from you, the audience, so let me know. This is a show where I'd like to interact with you guys, so let me know accordingly. The Lace and Tech News can be found on every major platform, including Apple, Spotify, Google, YouTube, Stitcher, Overcast, and more. Now, if you enjoyed this episode, let us know by clicking that like button and by leaving a comment. Also, double check that you are subscribed so that you don't miss the next episode. I'm your host, Taylor Merrick, and remember, for the Lace and Tech Gadget and gaming news, visit technewsgadget.net. Pretty much, keep being awesome, guys, and I'll see you on the flip side.